Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back to the Pomp and Joe Show. And we're just heating up here, Bob. Yes, we got here before 10 o'clock. That's our job. And the first hour was very scintillating. And the second hour was only more scintillating. And yet we haven't even started yet. We got a halftime speech from our boss, Craig Riley. And now we're ready to run through a door for him, aren't we, Bob?
We're ready to do it.
Or hearing, maybe a wall.
Hearing the miracle soundbite, that also inspired.
Yes, we're going to hear from Broderick
Wouldn't
Jones.
Wouldn't that be funny if Mike Tomlin played that?
It'd be great.
Before the game. Just to say, hey, this is how I feel. This is how you should feel. They think it's easy.
Is it the greatest speech in sports history that we know of? I think it is. It's not even close.
Yeah. You know who gives good ones these days?
Who?
Is Dan Campbell.
Those are pretty good.
He's very authentic, yeah. Which I like, and he's very passionate about everything.
You think they're going to win the Super Bowl, don't you, Bob?
Well, I thought before all these injuries. Now, having this week off is going to be good for them.
What's your Super Bowl pick right now?
Right now.
Right now. I'll give you free reign. Forget
Baltimore,
about what you picked before the season.
Detroit. That would be it.
Baltimore, Detroit.
I think they're playing at a level, I don't want to say that, but if you're asking me objectively, the teams I think are the hottest right now,
yeah.
Detroit, again, showed me with all these injuries that somehow, some way, they limited Minnesota's offense with six starters out of – I mean, it's ridiculous what they've done, and playing at home will only help them. So I think they'll get there. Who wins, I have no idea.
I think it's going to be –
Who do you think?
I think Kansas City and Philly are going to have a rematch. If I had to pick it right
Kansas
now.
Kansas City and Philly.
Yep.
Even though, Jalen Hurts, do we have an update on him? Sean, don't call me Seth. Myers.
I will investigate.
Because I think he was still in concussion protocol.
Yeah, I didn't think that he was back practicing yet.
Bob, pick a below the 3-seed Super Bowl. Your underdog Super Bowl. What's your best bet? So they can't be a top 3-seed in either conference. Pick
so you're
for
talking
me,
about 4, 5, and 6. And 7, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Pick from that in AFC and that in the NFC. Your sleeper Super Bowl, we'll call it, Bob. Mine's
okay.
Easy. Are you ready, Bob?
Go ahead. You can give me some
time. I keep saying Bob too much. I used to be accused of saying Ron too much, and I feel like I'm doing it again,
you've
Bob.
You've called me Ron too, so that's okay.
That's because you don't open your mic like Ron used to all the time. Mine's real easy on this one. The Chargers in the AFC, I feel like, are extremely, extremely dangerous against the Rams. Chargers against the Rams. Why the Rams, you ask?
Rams are a good pick.
Thanks you for asking, Bob. It's because they have a quarterback who, when he's hot and when he gets protection in front of him, has great receivers who are healthy right now. That's a pretty good recipe. I say an all L.A. Super Bowl, Bob, in that case.
All L.A.?
Mm-hmm.
You think the Chargers are that good?
Among the bottom seeds, yes. I think they're real dangerous. I do.
This is going to, since I have to pick 4, 5, 6, or 7, I'm going to go with Denver.
Not a bad pick.
I just like the way they're playing. I think their defense is good enough to do it. If I'm going to go outside in the NFC and pick a team, I may have to pick the Packers. I know they lost Watson, very talented wide receiver, Jordan Love, but I still think they have enough on that team that could put together a run. I was going to take the Rams, but since you did, I'll defer otherwise. Rams are, they have all the veteran savvy that you need. They have a coach who's been there. Their quarterback is really good. And their two wide receivers are outstanding. So they have a lot of things that sets them apart. But I'll go Packers and Broncos if I have to do that.
Also talking big picture with Steelers-Ravens. We talked about a number of futures, reputations, contract situations on the line in this game. Here's a couple of more. Najee. There was a time this season during that winning streak, right when Russ was coming in, that everybody seemed to agree Najee looked like a better back than he had ever been. He was having the best run, no pun intended, of his career. And then he just completely fell off. Completely fell off. What happened, A, and B, how big is this game for him as far as his future employment? I don't think there's going to be a huge market for Najee. I don't think so. He averages 3.9 yards a carry in his career. He's not a needle mover. He's not a home run hitter. I hate to say he's just another back. I think he gives you a little bit more than that, but he's kind of just another back.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think he's, people have seen his entire body of work this year. There are a lot of good things about what he does, for sure. He's going to get another job, but it's not going to be, $8 million a year like Derrick Henry got. What did he get, 2 years, $16 million? Is that what it was?
Yeah, I mean, he's old by running back standards.
Doesn't
he's ancient.
Matter. He still puts up numbers and he puts
up production.
No, I
know, but
I don't.
Derrick Henry went on the open market at Najee's age, he would be the highest paid running back of all time immediately.
I understand that, but he's still putting up numbers, and that was
his
market.
Yeah.
I'm just making the comparison, and I don't think he'll ever get close to that number. So what will he be willing to take, and who would be willing to pay him? That's the question, but I don't think it'll be here.
Me neither. Although I think, like with these other guys, it's your last impression. If he were to have a great, great game, then...
What would be great? 120 yards rushing?
I think we know it when we see it. Whatever it might be, a couple touchdowns, big plays at crucial parts in the game, get him more involved in the pass game. He's caught some balls lately. I think, what does he have, six catches maybe in the last couple of games? I'd like to see him get more involved in the pass game. But I want to see Jalen Warren be the guy anyway. We open
Are
the show.
Are you convinced he can be every down
I sure
primary
want to find
guy
out.
For 17 games?
I don't care. I care about this game. I'm not convinced, no, that Jalen would be a 17-game guy.
So you'd
guy
have to go out and get somebody else, and
I think
they
that's
absolutely
just,
would.
Unless you have Derrick Henry or even with Gibbs, Detroit has two guys. You have to have two guys. But I think Najee ultimately is going to be very disappointed with what he finds on the open market. That brings us to Justin Fields. I have said, based on Tomlin's comments since the Cincy game, that if I didn't know better, and I do know better, but if I didn't, I think he was secretly going to start this guy. Because he's just, his confidence in Russ has waned to the point where almost nothing would shock me. I'm convinced Tomlin will have a quick hook. What if Justin Fields comes in and has a great game? What if he comes off the bench and leads the Steelers to a win? I think that changes his future in a certain way. Sitting here right now, Bob, I don't want him to be the Steelers quarterback. And I don't think that they will bring him back as their quarterback. Do you?
Even if he comes in, plays extremely
well,
and gets them to the next game.
I said sitting here right now.
No. I think it's up in the air about all of them. I don't think they're in a position to say which one of these we're going to choose and how much money we're going to make them a multi-year deal. We're not. I think they now have to reconsider all of that, given the performances we've seen. Just as last year, they had to reconsider everything, never thinking that they'd come up with this quarterback room. I don't know. I think if to what you said, if Justin Fields gets in the game and plays well, first of all, you have to start him next week, don't you?
Of course. I mean, that could change everything for Justin Fields. He's another guy with a future on the line in this game. There's so much riding in this game.
I still would rather long-term defer to a guy who's going to be, he's mid-20s, still has, I think the ceiling is higher for him, Joe. I do. I still think there are, with the right supervision, and the development that I saw a little bit in those first six games compared to what he had in Chicago, I think there's more upside there.
Justin Fields is a guy who, even if he doesn't play series at quarterback in this game, in my mind, needs to touch the ball. Do you agree with that?
Yes. You said five plays earlier?
In the first Baltimore game, didn't he come in and clinch the game with a couple of carries?
But I would even do it beyond fourth and one, have him be the guy. I'd do a package, something that we haven't seen from him.
Me
in other
too.
Words, he and Russell Wilson are on the field at the same time and something, just something.
I agree. I mean, he.
Even if
I
they
want
do
to
nothing
make,
with it,
right,
just to
make
get them
account for him.
Yeah.
I agree with you, Bob. Meantime, I was hoping that the Ravens would be the only ones to pipe up this week. But lo and behold, who comes along but Broderick Jones with a little bulletin board material. You ready for this, Bob?
Yeah, I haven't heard this or seen this. What happened?
Do you like that it's the Ravens this week, the familiarity?
I do. I honestly, for me personally, I wanted to play the Ravens again. I still got a bad taste in my mouth from last game. So, you know, it's I wanted to play them again. I'm glad we get to play them again. I just want to go out there and, you know, do what I can to help my team win.
I wanted to play them again, Bob. I'm glad we got to play him again. I actually think the Steelers secretly feel that way. I'm not sure I want Broderick Jones as my spokesperson, necessarily. I would have preferred an entirely under-the-radar week. I don't know if that's the most incendiary quote of all time, but it'll make it over to the Ravens. What do you make of it?
I applaud it. I have no problem with it. I like somebody who says, yeah, I want to get rid of what we did the last time and show them we're better. Whatever he said, that's not one of those statements that jumps out at you, and Baltimore's going to look at it and say, oh, you maybe they will. But to me, what are you supposed to say? No, I don't. That's a terrible matchup for you. Can't say that.
Well, no, there's a large gulf between I wanted to play the Ravens, I'm glad we got them, and we're afraid of them. You just sort of work your way around it.
He's just being honest. He's saying, yeah, I wanted a shot just to redeem ourselves from the last time we played. That's a natural reaction.
Nobody else has said it. Is he the guy you want saying it, considering the year that he's had?
No, but the statement in and of itself doesn't do anything for me.
How about
and
you,
I don't
Sean,
think it'll resonate in their
Myers.
Locker room either. I don't think they're going to. If they want to go that, if they're going to look at that comment.
Do you think the soft George Pickens comment
that's
resonates?
Different.
It's different. It's more incendiary, yes. And I like that word, Bob. How about you, Sean?
I do agree, Joe, to your point that he could have said it doesn't matter who we go against. We have to worry about us being better.
Yeah, there's easy ways to work around that,
Bob. But he was asked it. I don't think it's, you know, any major bulletin board material. I don't have a problem with him saying it. To your point, it's not like what the Ravens are doing with George Pickens. So I don't think it's a big deal, although ultimately there's certainly some guys maybe a little more savvy who would have avoided mentioning wanting to play Baltimore altogether.
He wanted him. He got him. He got him, Bob. Now he better perform. I would say that, would you?
Well, yeah, he has to perform. Both those tackles, they've been bad or contributing to the bad play that we've seen. So, yes, you know, Dan Moore's smart enough not to say anything. He leads the NFL in sacks allowed. He's having some problems over there. I think so.
He leads the NFL in sacks allowed?
Can you check that, Seth? I think he does. If I'm looking at – he had 3.5 just this past week against Trey Hendrickson.
Was he responsible for all those, Bob? I actually don't know.
Yes. I don't think they offered any help over there. He got around him all the times. We'll find out if that's true. But if he's not leading, he's one of the top guys in sacks allowed.
There are only, yeah, I think you might be right here. Holy horse milk, Bob.
But I'm saying
Steelers Nation NFL in 2024, which is this season, there were only 3 offensive tackles that allowed 10 or more sacks per PFF. Dan Moore Jr., 12. Pettit Friere, or whatever his name is, 10. And Broderick Jones, 10.
That's
are you
saying.
Kidding me?
Both of the tackles.
Two of the three. All this. Off go the glasses, Bob. All they do is draft tackles. And that's all they've done. And the one guy, Broderick Jones, wasn't even going to be in the lineup. It was going to be Fatanu and Dan Moore at the beginning. And now the two guys they have out there lead the league in sacks allowed. Lead the league. Whatever happened to the Dan Moore's going to go out and get this huge payday I keep hearing
well,
about
he's not.
In free
they
agency?
People keep saying it. He's not now. He's going to get a payday somewhere.
So he'll get paid for playing football. That's good. But right. There was an idea perpetuated by some in this town
this is the danger,
that he was going to be some big free agent.
Right. When you play half a season and you're playing some teams you should beat and everybody looks better and people want to spend money then, sometimes you have to really be patient, wait until an overall analysis of the entire season before you come to a conclusion like this.
I know, but in talk radio, you can't really do that.
I know. I'm talking about just, like, if you're looking at it from a fan's point of view, sometimes you have to wait and see how the whole thing works out. That's all I'm saying. And I sometimes get sucked into that myself. I don't like to be thrown out a bunch of hot takes in the middle of a season only to find out they're not so hot. And at the end of the season, they look downright cold. So,
yeah, I don't mind doing that because I think of myself like a GM, a coach, a fan, and a media person all wrapped into one. And guess what we're all doing? Analyzing and changing our minds week to week. So if I thought, for example, that the Cleveland Browns would be good this year, after 11 weeks when they're 3-8, guess what? I don't have that opinion anymore. The Browns stink. That's what GMs, coaches, fans, and media people.
Yeah, but they don't rush to judgment to pay people midway through the season. That's what I'm talking about. People throw out money. Like, we all do that. Okay, oh, Russell's playing really well. He's got about 3 years, $150 million, give him 50.
Which was reasonable at the time to project that.
We heard Fields' extension talk like a month into the season, too.
Well, you'll hear it with everyone. George Pickens' extension talk, right?
Yeah.
When he was having some of his better games. And now you have a different take on him because of what's happened. And sometimes and you have to step back and let it happen. And
sure. But so we can't afford to do that.
The tackles fall into that.
Yes, they do.
And so now you know, what once looked like a strength looks like a weakness.
That's the whole point of our last hour is this is not your normal playoff game. It feels like there's a lot of people involved in this game who can benefit in an abnormally large way or the opposite way right. by this one little football game or this one big football game. Right, Bob?
No question. I mean, futures are on the line here everywhere you look at it. Guys who have 1 year left, no time left on contracts, where are they going to be? If you go on somewhat of a run here, you can change the narrative there too in a positive way.
What are people going to be saying about Lamar if he loses at home as a 10-point underdog and plays like crap against the Steelers? I'll tell you what. They're going to be saying, why can't Michael Jordan ever play like Michael Jordan when the chips are down?
Well, yeah. You know, they'll call him...
Was it Craig Elo or whatever they were talking about?
Elo, yeah. That's. But my point is, I don't know if that's going to happen or not. I think he's if they lose, it may not be because of Lamar
Jackson.
Yeah,
it may not. All I'm saying is the narrative around him and Harbaugh is not going to be friendly.
Oh, no. And Harbaugh's already been tortured over the years.
Right.
They've gone through similar droughts. But they also, at one point, had more first-round buys than they did playoff wins. And that's not good. You know, first
no,
team.
Lamar may have more MVPs here in a
than
short
playoff
while
wins.
Than playoff wins or wins against the Steelers. He has two of each.
Yeah, so that's interesting.
Very. All right, Bob. The Cabalian Mongoose is warming up in the bullpen. Mark Cabali coming up next. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. What is Cabali's take on this game? I'm actually dying to know here. I haven't heard him on the air yet this week, although I'm sure he has been on the station. Does he think the Steelers are going to pull the upset? And it would be one of the biggest upsets in NFL playoff history. A double-digit underdog winning a game. He's next. In the meantime, let's talk a little bit about the Good Feet store and pain in your feet and how with the new year, you may have a resolution, even if it's not this pie in the sky thing. Maybe it's just I want to walk a little bit. But no, because every time you try, you get needles in your heel or burning in the balls of your feet. You may have plantar fasciitis, something like that. And I can relate. I had pain in the joints of my big toes for many years. And then I tried the Good Feet feeling. I tried the Good Feet foot arch support system designed around my feet. My shoes. You don't need a new pair of shoes here, anything like that. They've got it figured out. It's all customized to you. And it lessened my pain. It could lessen yours as well. A lot of us misdiagnosed with foot issues as well over the years. Well, I don't even care anymore what was wrong with the joints of my big toes. I care that they don't hurt. That's what I care about. I imagine you're in that boat too, a lot of you anyway. And you can come in and check it out in person. That's what I did. Robinson Town Center across from IKEA. There's a store in Cranberry Township on Route 19 North next to Walgreens. You can go to goodfeet.com. And there's a Good Feet store out in Crowley Town, otherwise known as Morgantown, at the Suncrest Town Center. So come on in. Try the Good Feet feeling today. Comfort, energy, performance, and pain relief at the Good Feet store.